In the Dodge City yards of the Santa Fe stood a freight made up for the East. And the engineer with his oil and waste was grooming the great iron beast. While 10 cars back in the murky dust, a boxcar door swung wide. And a hobo lifted his pal aboard to start on his last long ride. A lantern swung and the freight pulled out, the engineer gathered speed. The engineer pulled the throttle wide and clucked to his fiery steed. 10 cars back in the empty box, the hobo rolled a pill. The flare of the match showed his partner's face stark white and deathly still. As the train wheels clicked on the coupling joints, a song for the rambler's ear. The hobo talked to the still white form, his pal for many years. For a mighty long time we've rambled, Jack, with the luck of men that roam, with the back door steps for a dining room and a boxcar for a home. We dodged the bulls on the eastern route and the cops on the Chesapeake. We traveled the Leadville narrow gauge in the days of Cripple Creek. We drifted down through sunny Cal on the rails of the old SP. And of all you had through good and bad, a half always belonged to me. You made me promise to you, Jack, if I lived and you cashed in, to take you back to the old churchyard and bury you there with your kin. You seemed to know I would keep my word, for you said that I was white. Well, I'm keeping my promise to you, pal, 'cause I'm taking you home tonight. I hadn't the money to send you there, so I'm taking you back on the fly. It's the decent way for a beau to go home to the by and by. I knew that fever had you, Jack, and that doctor just wouldn't come. He was too busy treating the wealthy folks to doctor a worn-out bum. As the train rolled over its ribbons of steel, straight through to the east it sped. The engineer in his high-cap seat kept his eye on the rails ahead. While 10 cars back in the empty box, the lonely hobo sighed. For the days of old and his pals are colder, was taking his last long ride.
White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is White Aryan Resistance. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, in the bunker right here in north central Indiana, where it's been raining for about many hours, and it's cool and it's sort of nasty out. That makes you appreciate when the All-Father's Sun comes out. Yeah. Well, I hope you didn't go out there rummaging around in the rain and to vote for these jerks. Oh, the television is full of that crap today. It's unbelievable. They see, the whole thing is so, it's stage managed. It's stage managed to make the sheep think that they're going to change something. And when have the sheep changed anything by voting or anything like that in history? They may think they have, and it may seem like they changed a little, but even if they do change a little, they're back to the same old thing pretty quick. So, but I did go down to a viewing of a friend of mine who rolled a 7 this week, one of my high school buddies, and one of those macabre deals in the funeral home that I can't stand. This whole Christian con game of milking down the widows and family and so forth for thousands and thousands of dollars and elaborate coffins that cost $5,000, $10,000, $20,000. And it's interesting how they have these open casket things where there's the poor guy trying to get some sleep and all of his relatives are hovering around talking to each other and having a good time. And he said, get out of here. I want to get some sleep. But anyhow, it's this funeral industry is one of the biggest rip-offs there is. Biggest rip-offs there is. My buddy was over 6 foot, but he was getting really big, about 300 pounds, or at least high 200s, because I used to go over and see him, and he used to stay in his easy chair, one of those relaxer chairs all the time. I don't even think he went to bed at night because it got so big. Anyhow, that's what I did this morning instead of voting, and I think it was did more good. I'll tell you one thing, I'm not going to go up and hover around some corpse and look at them like they're in a zoo. That's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Leave that to other people. I get the whole Christian funeral death scene turns me totally off. One of his cousins said to me, who I also went to high school with, he said, what do you think, Tom? I said, well, we got that big lake here in town. When I roll a 7, just throw me in a rowboat and fill it full of gasoline and shove me out in the middle of the lake, and that's fine with me. He looked at me like, oh, come on. Well, we're at P.O. Box 401. Yeah, we haven't left. Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And thank you all for getting your donations in early. The earlier in the month, the better. And if there's ever any error and you happen to get dropped for no reason, as long as you're paid up, well, you let us know or contact merchandiseresist@yahoo.com, the webmaster, and we'll get it straightened out for you. Well, you know the old saying, they say this is an old Indian Mongoloid saying. I don't know whether it's that or who came up with it. Maybe an Irishman, I don't know. But they said if you stand on a riverbank long enough, all your enemies will float by. Well, one of mine floated by, and that was Johnny Lee Clary. Supposedly, he's kicked a bucket. He was a big, fat guy and didn't take care of himself. And his claim to fame was to find Jesus and become a preacher and go all over the place, plus saying nasty things about Tom Metzger. And actually, that was his claim to fame. I was in the Klan with that Tom Metzger. What a horrible guy. And the last 2 or 3 years, he's been running around with that old con pervert son of a bitch, Jimmy Swaggart. If you don't know about Swaggart, you don't know anything. I remember when Swaggart was caught in a sleazy motel in Needles, California with his prostitute. And for a while, it dented his popularity. But I'm telling you, these Christians, these guys can do anything. And they sooner or later, I saw Jim Baker on television. Remember Jim Baker? Another pervert. And I don't know whatever happened to his wife, but yeah, there was Jim Baker back on there, you know. That reminds me of Billy James Hargis. We used to call him Billy James Hoggis. That was a big right-wing preacher. He got even a school built for him out of the sucker's money. And he got caught with a male-female student in his private office having a threesome. And you'd think that in any other kind of business, that would kill him. That would be it. He probably couldn't come back from that. But in the Christian business, he's back at it. I see all those guys that got caught doing shady stuff that Christians usually say, oh, my God, you can't do that. That's a sinful thing. And sooner or later, they're back on the track, and they get hundreds and maybe thousands of people almost worshiping them. It's beyond me, baby. One guy that did that kind of stuff is Bill Clinton. He got away with it. But most politicians, if they get caught in the act, their careers screwed up pretty bad. So anyhow, Johnny Lee Clary, according to the latest information, has rolled a 7, and he's gone to meet his banker. Will he get a surprise? You know, I don't think the electorate's getting too excited about this election. I heard a guy on the radio early this morning call in a national radio show. He says, I'm from Indiana. northern Indiana. In fact, he was only about 40 miles from me. He said, I was at the polls an hour and a half after they opened, and there was only 21 people had voted. This is in the big metropolitan area. The polls been open an hour and a half and only 21 people. One thing good, see, it's rainy and terrible weather out, or bad weather. That always benefits the Republicans. Yeah, one thing about the Republicans, these fanatical Republicans, they're like fanatical Christians, and usually the same. They're, you know, snowstorm, sleet storm, rainstorm, typhoon, hurricane. They're out there voting. Little old ladies, no, they all get out there. Whereas when it's bad weather, the Democrats tend to stay home. Yeah, especially the non-whites. So I look for a big Republican sweep, at least in the part of the country where it's bad weather. Now you're going to have a Republican Senate? Oh, shit. Don't make much difference. But other than the fact that the Republicans are definitely the psychopathic war kind, they never saw a war they didn't want to get into. Of course, they've got most of the Democrats now doing the same thing, but usually it's spearheaded by the Republicrats.
It says that
sanity is on the march, I'm telling you. This Huckabee and all these weirdos. Of course, the people they're arguing against are just as nuts. All the transgender and homosexual and all those people on one side, and nutball Huckabee on the other side, and everybody screaming equality, and there is no such thing. There is no goddamn thing as equality. And the more you try to say you've got it, the more you don't have it. So they're going to be, maybe we can get all those people to kill each other. I don't know. But Huckabee, I hope he steps on a banana peel.
I enjoy the notes from people, but there's like a group of, you know, I don't know how many. Sometimes it's 20, sometimes it's 50, sometimes it's 8.
You know, yesterday we were talking about fear. Yeah, fear. Now, it's used against us all the time. In fact, that's the art of government, really, is managing fear to keep the people in line, like running an Australian sheepdog around a herd of sheep, nipping at their heels. So these sheep are fearful and they stay where they're supposed to go. Here's a little clip from Radical Progressive, Rogue Progressive, where a guy was giving a lecture out west to the oil men. And see, this sort of shows you what I'm talking about.
Being sponsored by Alexis. Word today that a judge in Maine had or has rejected an attempt by state health officials in that state to keep nurse Casey Hickox in quarantine. She, of course, has defied the state quarantine for medical workers who have treated Ebola patients. Good for her. The judge ruled that Hickox should continue daily monitoring and coordinate travel with state officials so monitoring can continue, but because she's not showing symptoms, the judge says she's not infectious. Now, this is where we are now. We live in a culture that is so eaten up with fear that everybody has to carry a gun. It's so eaten up with fear. All you have to do is look at these filthy, stinking political ads that are running by both parties, but especially the Republicans. Their entire message is fear. The entire message of religion is fear. The entire message of capitalism is fear. Everything is fear. The enemy. Who's the enemy this week? Anybody know? Is it a Khorasan? What happened to them? Wasn't an imminent attack by Khorasan planned? ISIS? Is it ISIL? ISIS? Islamic? The Sandinistas, are they still coming up through Texas? Who else is going to attack us and eat us and devour us? Well, no wonder these zombie movies and zombie TV shows are so popular. There is so much childish fear out and about right now in this country. I'll bet you that half the people, if not more, who will wind up having their votes counted on Tuesday, and that's stretching it, that half those people will be voting out of fear, not out of anything positive, not out of anything constructive, but strictly fear. Fear, fear, fear. Aren't you sick of it? Aren't you sick of it? Ebola? Oh, for Christ's sake. One person died of Ebola in this country, and he contracted it before he came to this country. Everyone else who has been treated in this country has survived. Do you know how many people are going to die in the United States over the next 4 months of flu? 20,000? Fear. Fear, fear. Don't get a vaccination. Why? Because it'll give you autism. What? Yeah. Or worse. I mean, all of it. Every single thing is fear. So here we are. In the middle of Halloween, with all the spooks and haints and ghosts, and the Christians have got all the little children so afraid of even going trick-or-treating. No, you can't go trick-or-treating. We'll go trunk-or-treating. What's that? That's where you look in somebody's trunk of their car. Why? Because I don't know why. But if you go trick-or-treating, there'll be Ebola in your apple. Apple? What's an apple? There'll be razor blades in your candy. There'll be poison. Everything is poison. Death, destruction. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Carry a gun. Carry two guns. And don't go to Kroger's or Target without an AR-15. You never know what's going to happen. Man. And this whole thing about this nurse, Casey Hickox, these medical personnel, medical people, doctors, nurses, medical technicians, x-ray specialists, hematologists, epidemiologists, pediatricians, whatever they do, that are going to West Africa to attack this virus, they should be celebrated. They should be honored. And the state of New Jersey, state of New York, and now I understand the state of, is it Wisconsin, Iowa, someplace in the Midwest? They're all passing laws that will totally abrogate a person's freedom of movement, freedom of anything. This is not based on medicine. It's not based on science. It's based on fear generated by this political class in this country that needs to be taken out and just pushed over a cliff somewhere and forgotten about. Fear, 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 everything fear. Fear everything. The nurse, Casey Hickox, was pushed into the media glare when she came back from treating Ebola patients in Sierra Leone. She got off a plane in New Jersey and became immediately victimized by this mandatory quarantine in that state, thanks to that half-witted jerk, Rich, what's his name? Governor of New Jersey, you know who I mean. Christie, whatever. After being released from a hospital where she threatened to leave, she was being held against her will practically. She went back to Maine, a small town, where she was placed under what Maine authorities called a voluntary quarantine. If you want to hear newspeak, if you want to hear Big Brotherisms, how about that one? Voluntary quarantine. What in the hell does that mean? A quarantine is... Why bother? Nurse Hickox said that she was following the federal CDC recommendation of daily monitoring for fever and other signs of the disease. Earlier this week, before the judge ruled, she said, quote, "I'm not willing to stand here and let my civil rights be violated when it's not science-based," end quote. Good for you. Good for you. Fear. Fear. State legislatures and governors and these half-witted right-wingers. Well, Ebola. And the medical people keep saying, you know, why not take a look at Casey Hickox's partner, the guy she lives with? Has he gotten it? No, he hasn't. But science in this country has been so mocked by these right-wing pigs for so long, whether it is dietary science, agriculture science, global climate change science, creation of the universe science, planetary movement science, whatever it is. It's been so denigrated and torn to pieces by these right-wing religious and not religious so much, that just the whole right wing, the whole neo-fascist movement, which includes about every goddamn religion in existence, they all have been pushing non-science, fear. Let's go back to the 7th century. Let's go back to the time when a plague was caused by evil spirits because you didn't pray enough. And then the Pope comes out and says, I'm going to talk about it a little bit later tonight, but he talks about, he gave his blessing to a convocation of exorcists meeting in Rome. Yes, he did. This is the same guy, the same Pope, who I quoted the other day as having said that the theory of evolution it certainly should be accepted as the way human beings, well, evolved. And that the Big Bang theory, the creation of the universe, should be accepted as the way things were, well, created. And now he comes out, I think Wednesday, I'll have the whole story for you later. He comes out and says that this meeting of 300 exorcists, meeting in Rome, the eternal city. I mean, what do you do at a convention of exorcists? Do you cast demons out of each other? Do you make grunting noises? Do you spew pea soup all around the room? What do? Does your head spin? Or do you sit there and try to pretend like you are very rational and sciencey and talk about, yes, well, I think that the proper way to approach the demon depends to a great extent on the age of the possessed. Now, obviously, if it's a child, a different kind of approach has to be used, maybe with trinkets and little doodads to get the child's attention over here so that you, the exorcist, can address the demon. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And the gun nuts. And if you haven't heard his program, shame on you. All right, back to this guy, Rick Berman. There's an audio recording of recent remarks he made to representatives of the fossil fuel industry at a Colorado gathering. Here's part of what he said to this group of people. He said, "You can either win ugly or lose pretty. You figure out where you want to be. Hardball is something I'm a big fan of. Applied appropriately, think of it as endless war. Fear and anger have to be part of this campaign. You have to get people fearful about what is on the table." Now, this is a guy, he's addressing a group of killers called the Western Energy Alliance. These are companies that don't give a goddamn about anybody's life, anybody's water supply, anybody's air supply, anybody's aquifer, groundwater, lakes, rivers, to hell with it. They want the money. So, Western Energy Alliance. So he's talking to them, and fear, that's what we were talking about tonight. That's the point this freak is making. And fear has become, as Mark Carlin points out, the go-to emotion to manipulate the population of the United States. Isn't that the truth? Fear. The go-to emotion. That's the one. Progress? Inspiration? Huh. Science? Get out of town. Political leadership? You got to be kidding. No, no. There's one element that motivates people in this poor, sad country now, and it's fear. Fear of something. But there's fear all around. Everything is here. Though, of course, that's what advertising is based on. Every commercial you see on television, every single one, is based on fear. You're not going to be a good enough person if you don't buy this, or drive this, or eat this, or wear this, or take this medicine, or think these thoughts. Fear. Everything. And as Mark points out, as has been seen by the trembling of U.S. news consumers about Ebola, fear is a powerful motivating factor that subverts rational public policy, distracts attention from the more pressing threats to the well-being of the country. And an essential ingredient in this Rick Berman's campaign, it's going to launch soon, in his tactics, is preserving the anonymity of the people who kick in the money to fund this thing. This is what he told the Colorado fossil fuel representatives. Now, as he has in previous drives against raising the minimum wage or tightening the rules to curb drunk driving, Berman said he would run the campaign for fracking through various nonprofit entities. Sneaky son of a bitch, because U.S. law allows nonprofits to keep the source of their funding secret. And therefore, it's never clear what companies or individuals or groups of neo-fascists are funding these different campaigns. Isn't this nice? This is this Rick Berman guy. Berman said, told the Western Energy Alliance when asked by an audience member which companies were backing him, he said, quote, "What people always want to do is they want to know who funds me so they can attack the funder. We run all of this stuff through nonprofit organizations that are insulated from having to disclose donors." Now, the same anonymity is guaranteed donors to nonprofit issue groups that have been unleashed since the Supreme Court Citizen United decision. Remember that one? Which dumps tens of millions of dollars, hundreds of millions, into political campaigns, particularly on behalf of these filthy, stinking Republicans. But this is how it works now in this country. Fear. Fear. You know, you take people like the Koch brothers and somebody like Rick Berman and somebody like Ted Cruz and somebody like Rush Limbaugh, and you have a combination of voices, mouths, megaphones, access, designed specifically and strictly to destroy anything and everything that might be considered good, progressive, thoughtful, just, ethical. Everything. So remember the name Rick Berman. Rick Berman. He's the guy that tried to convince everybody that Mothers Against Drunk Driving was some kind of a communist organization or something. All right, stick around. When we come.
Well, there you go. Mr. Rogue Progressive, Mike Malloy. We have disagreements on the race issue, that's for sure. And he's sort of moderately tough on the Jews, not as tough as we are, but he does a really good job of digging out stuff on these rats in power and the rats in among the predatory capitalists. And so he's sort of interesting that I happened to come up with that talking about fear yesterday, and then all of a sudden he's got this on. Yeah, that's right. So, now you can have a healthy fear, concern. Obviously, that's nature's protection. But abnormal fear will get you killed. There's a TV show I've been watching lately, and I've learned a lot about it. And I find it to be very instructive, especially on what not to do. It's called, what is it called? Wait a minute here. Greed. Greed. And greed is on, I think you can probably get it on most cable services and so forth. Maybe also on regular air broadcasts too. But it's mostly about high-rolling frauds. and people who take the sheep for millions. And it's interesting how stupid the sheep are. If you want to know how stupid the sheep are, it don't make any difference whether they got a lot of money or not. They're still stupid. They may have intelligently got the money, but the money's taken away from them by con men because of greed. Yeah, the sheep out there are greedy. And they keep offering them something for nothing or more than what is normal to get a return on their money, and they fall for it. And then the guy cleans up, he makes millions, and he's out the door. And greed shows you all of that. It's excellent. Now, the other day, usually they don't have, street crime and things like that. But the other day, they had a story about a bank robber. And it caught my ear because it took place here in Indiana. This guy robbed 42 banks in southern Indiana, southwestern Ohio, and northern Kentucky. 42 banks. Now, one critique I made as I went along watching this thing is he never took a break. He just kept doing it until they got a pattern on him. Now, you would think if somebody's going to rob banks, they'd rob a few and then lay low maybe for a year and then do it again, because usually up until that point they don't have enough to do anything unless somebody's really stupid. Now, one thing I noticed, this guy right away, he's got a brand new big black BMW. Now, what would stand out more to you than a big black BMW? And what, you would remember that, wouldn't you? Why wouldn't he drive just an old Toyota or something like that? So, and also, when they caught this guy finally, and he had several guns in his car and a bunch of ammo. Now, since when does a bank robber really need a gun? Now, when they get you, they're going to pile a lot more years on you because you used a gun, even if you didn't shoot it. They could just as easily have gotten what they wanted with a toy gun, a fake gun. There was a whole lot of stuff that this guy did. Now, he was successful in robbing 42 banks, which he was no dummy, but he made a lot of mistakes along the way, which led to him being caught. You get a chance, watch that Greed TV show. It's on, we get it on DirecTV, but I'm sure you can get it on Dish TV or Comcast TV or Network TV. So you learn a lot while watching that thing. The main thing is you learn not what to do. Don't do that. And you can see it coming, too. You can see certain patterns to what the story's telling about the person who's committing the crime. And you're saying, wait a minute, stop. You've gone too far. You know, 15 banks, cool it. That's enough. 42 banks, you're going to get it. Even though, and also, of course, you watch these more out of entertainment than anything else, because bank robbery is a hard way to make a living. The people who rob banks today use computers. Robbing banks the old-fashioned way is just not the greatest occupation. And another thing, this guy that robbed 42 banks, in the meantime, he was setting up con jobs along the way, getting people on several occasions to invest large amounts of money with some kooky deal that he was in on, that they were going to make a fortune. So he was mixing apples and oranges there. That's another problem. And that led him to be observed on the FBI radar. And now the other thing is, now here's a guy that robbed 42 banks. 42 banks. And he only had about $250,000 out of that. 42 banks and you only get $250,000. That's, you might as well work for a minimum wage, man. It would seem to me, if you couldn't get 50 to 100 grand out of each bank, it would not be worth it, considering the penalties for that kind of stuff. Well, the Virginians are fighting over the Confederate flag or the war banner or whatever again. Some of these people would still die over that flag. When in reality, this so-called Confederate flag was the flag of the oligarchy in the South, the capitalist plantation South, the South that dug them into war and got a tremendous amount of good white people in the South killed, especially poor people who picked up the guns and went out to fight it. So to see these guys, and if you'd have said to these guys with their Confederate flags, are you a racist? Are you a white racist? Oh, hell no. Oh, why, hell no. Some of my best friends are niggers. I got them working for me down on, I'm sorry about that. But these guys are something else. They'll fight for the death over a damn flag. But they will not come out four square for the white race. And so I have no respect for them. The hell with that flag. You don't need flags. You need guts and blood. Besides, it just gives your enemy more ammunition against you. Propaganda, propaganda, propaganda. Oh, God, they want to bring back slavery. Well, a lot of those entrepreneurs probably would. Just remember, slavery and the plantation was the ultimate minimum wage.
Commons at Lynchburg.
Okay.
The commotion around the Confederate flag flying at the Danville Museum of Fine Arts and History has not died down.
Now, one group gathered outside the museum today expressing outrage over the fact that what they say is a symbol of hate will continue to fly outside the museum. But the meeting got a little heated today as citizens who support the flag also had something to say.
What community in the United States of America can continue to fly a symbol of hate like that?
The Confederate flag will keep flying at the Danville Museum.
If Jewish community saw a Nazi flag flying out here, it would come down today. Put one out here and see what happens. You, the African-American community, have patiently stood by this flag flying here. And now it's time for it to come down.
The president of the group praised the museum board for requesting to bring the flag inside for educational purposes. He also talked about the cornerstone speech Confederate Vice President Alexander Stephens gave in 1861. It defended slavery and expressed how blacks were inferior to whites.
Hate groups used this flag as they hung people.
But some came to defend the flag, saying it represents heritage, not hate. The atmosphere grew tense when they discussed how the flag was used during slavery.
Doesn't mean your right to do it. Doesn't mean your right to take
people. Well, then you need to go back to Africa.
I'm confronting you. You're involved in the crime, too.
It's the right thing to do, to keep it up. I mean, it's a piece of history. A lot of things offend me, and I don't sit there and say, well, you need to stop that, take it down, and be done with it.
Both the SCLC and those who defend the flag agree that the community needs to be educated on the true history of the Confederate flag. They are hoping to have a public forum on that in the future. The SCLC says they are looking for an alternative for the decision. The president of the group also says they may get the U.S. Attorney General involved.
You know what really cramps my style is these southern white hypocrites, that the minute you either even breathe a little bit about being white racist, white separatists and proud, they run like rabbits. Oh, not me. That's not hatred. That's not hatred. Well, the blacks are part right, of course. There's a lot of these guys down south use that flag as a militant sign. But when they're cornered, they won't stand their ground. I thought they had stand your ground laws all over the South. I have rings on that. My one ring's got SS bolts and a swastika. Somebody, they ask me what that is. I say, that's a racist symbol. And I'm proud of it. And don't try to take it off of me either. So, but these southern conservative, usually Republican, and a lot of northerners the same way, hypocrites, you know. I don't need a Confederate flag. I don't have to have a swastika flag. I don't have to have any flag. My skin is my uniform, as George Lincoln Rockwell used to say. Would somebody please tote this Mike Huckabee off to the nut farm? He drives me crazy. Now, what is his claim to fame? I mean, because he was a preacher and went to mythology school, became a preacher and then a governor, for Christ's sake, governor. And so he's out there raising hell again, and he belongs in a goddamn nut house. Let's see here. What, you got something to say? Let me see. Let me see what's going on. Try again on that one.
My servants are going to stand and fight for jail.
The issue drew pastors from as far away as the Netherlands.
How is it, for God's sake, possible that this happens in the great nation of America?
Fox News host Mike Huckabee says everywhere he goes, Houston is mentioned.
They find it unimaginable that in the United States of America, this kind of brutish action would take place. They expect it in North Korea. They expect it in Russia. They expect it in Iran. They do not expect it in Houston, Texas.
This rally has become the highest profile moment in the ongoing battle over the mayor's equal rights ordinance.
I believe that what has happened in Houston, Texas has become a flashpoint nationally.
A dozen protesters from Get Equal stood out in front of the Church for Love.
I think that they're just very hurt, and they believe strongly in what they believe in, and we happen to disagree.
You know, I think everyone deserves equal rights. It doesn't matter who you are, who you love, how you love. That's none of my business, but everyone has the right to do and have access to everything.
But the surprise to many, Duck Dynasty star Phil Robertson joining in on the fight.
This is a sign to them, your opposition, that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God, it has been granted to you, you lucky Texans.
In Southeast Houston, Malini Basu, KHOU.
Utah cops or something else. Now, this happens to have happened to a black guy, a mulatto kind of guy. But anyhow, prosecutors in Utah have determined that two police officers were justified in the fatal shooting of 22-year-old Darian Hunt. The Saratoga Springs police officers, Corporal Matt Schauerhammer and Officer Nicholas Judson, shot Hunt six times September 10th after responding to two 9/11 calls about a man walking with a samurai-style sword along the Commercial Boulevard. Well, I don't believe there's a law against that that I know of. An autopsy revealed that Hunt, who was carrying a katana sword, his family said, was used for cosplay, had his back turned to the officers when all six shots were fired. The attorney for Hunt's family said that they still don't know how many shots were fired in which direction, reported the Salt Lake Tribune. But he noted that Schauerhammer paused to reload his weapon during the shooting. I mean, come on. Come on, baby. I don't want to go no Utah, man.
Unsealed a search warrant in the case.
In it, statements from two witnesses who say that Darian Hunt swung his sword at officers. But, as Daniel Woodruff found out, one of those witnesses says there is a problem with the official report. Daniel?
Yeah, that's right, Mark and Shauna. So that witness lives here in Salt Lake County. He says he talked to police after the incident back in September, but that the search warrants released today do not accurately reflect what he told them.
It's very disturbing that the young man lost his life.
Leonard John Zog was in Saratoga Springs September 10th, the day police shot and killed 22-year-old Darian Hunt. Zog witnessed what happened. He didn't want his face shown on camera due to the volatility of this issue, but he did want to set a few things straight.
The report didn't reflect some of the information that I shared with the police.
That report he's referring to is a search warrant affidavit filed by the Utah County Attorney's Office. In it, Zog is described as saying that Hunt swung his sword at police. but Zog says that's not true.
I only saw the flash of the sword as it was unsheathed.
He also says he told police something else.
Officers didn't shoot until he was running away.
The affidavit claims shots were fired and then Hunt took off running.
I don't know what to make of it. I was kind of surprised.
The affidavit also states one of the officers at the scene said he knew he had to stop Mr. Hunt before he was able to hurt or kill someone. The document also said Hunt had written a Facebook message before the incident saying, quote, I have a sword and I'm going to get shot.
Let's assume he wants to commit suicide by cop. Does that change anything? No, it doesn't. Because he's still a fleeing felon.
But U of U law professor Paul Cassell, who is not connected to this case, offers a different view.
Utah law allows police officers to shoot fleeing felons, provided that that fleeing felon poses an immediate risk.
Cassell also says it's important to wait until all the facts come out.
It's really hard until you know exactly what happened to make a conclusion one way or the other.
Back at Zog's house, he's still perplexed.
I never heard anybody holler stop. Never heard any loud dialogue that would distract people that are in the middle of a tense situation.
So another witness reportedly also saw what happened that day in September. According to that affidavit, this person told police that Hunt swung his sword, quote, very hard at one of the officers. We tried today to contact that witness. We were unable to reach her. Again, though, you heard Zog in this story, Mark and Shauna. He says he disagrees with how his claims and his report were represented in that search warrant that was released today. Back to you guys.
All right, more to follow for sure.
Well, that's interesting. Six times shot in the back when the guy is running or walking away from you. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, it's getting hairy out there. You know, there's a lot of people who display bizarre actions, but they don't deserve the death penalty. And, of course, too, now, I know in California, under Reagan, they opened up the doors to all the hospitals and left all the retards loose on the streets, and there's far more now than there were then. So you've got a lot of unstable people walking around, and they're liable to make a odd move or strange move, and for these trigger-happy cops, I mean, I think you're going to see a lot more people dead on the street. Does anybody know that guy was a mulatto? I'll tell you what, if you'd have been white doing the same thing, I think the cops would have done the same thing to you. Boy. Now I see that the so-called neo-Nazis are having a big to-do with the Klan, arguing over who's the best and who should run this demonstration coming up on next Saturday.
Reported right here in Metro Detroit.
Senate Action News investigator Heather Cataldo questioned one pro-white leader and shows us how hate groups are on the rise. Heather?
The American Nazi Party and the National Socialist Movement are both right here in our own backyard. And local civil rights leaders say it's important that everyone be aware that these hate groups are in this community. The National Socialist Movement is the largest neo-Nazi group in the United States. They proudly display swastikas in their rallies and marches. And the NSM lists its headquarters as a P.O. box inside this post office right here in Detroit.
The National Socialist Movement is the front line in the struggle against illegal immigration.
Its leader, 40-year-old Jeff Scoop, lives in East Point. Scoop, who goes by the title Commander, leads about 55 chapters of the NSM.
It's not hate or racism to speak of on pro-white terms.
Do you approve of race mixing?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Race mixing, in my mind, is the destruction of all cultures.
They are vehemently against any non-white having any kind of power, any access to government. Anti-Defamation League Regional Director Heidi Budai says Nazi-like hate speech can be dangerous. It is wrong on every level. There are actually very few steps between embracing that ideology, acting on that ideology, turning to violence with that ideology. It can actually, in the end, lead to genocide. Back in 2005, the National Socialist Movement clashed with demonstrators in Toledo, Ohio, inciting riots.
Experts say neo-Nazi groups like NSM often believe in many of the ideas that Adolf Hitler spread through Europe in the 1930s and 40s, including the claim that Jews are a subhuman race and the Aryan race must stay separate.
Are you an anti-Semite?
Define anti-Semite.
Do you dislike Jewish people?
I believe in the national self-determination of all peoples, that all people have the right to exist and have the right to their own homelands.
The NSM may be the biggest neo-Nazi group in Michigan, but it's not the only one. The American Nazi Party is also headquartered here, right in the all-American city of Westland. Calling themselves a political education association, the ANP is led by Rocky Sujeda. Despite our visits, phone calls, and emails, Sujeda would not discuss the American Nazi Party. While many disagree with his views, Sujeda seems to live a quiet life in Westland. Neither the police department nor the mayor knew he was there.
It's despicable that we have this sort of views going on, but they're certainly protected by the First Amendment.
Eastern Michigan University professor Jack Kay once infiltrated the Aryan nations.
I'm most fearful of is get into this leaderless resistance lone wolf mentality where they teach individuals to go out and do something.
Researchers at the Southern Poverty Law Center say hate groups across the country are on the rise. In 2000, they counted 600 groups. In 2012, that number had grown to 1,007. Michigan has 25 known hate groups, and experts say our state has a long history with the extreme right. During the 1920s, Detroit had more than 60,000 members of the Ku Klux Klan.
If you're a white separatist, why are you living in Detroit?
Detroit is just the city I chose to live in.
But the real reason that these modern-day Nazi groups are based in Michigan may have more to do with the leaders' personal lives than local race relations. Experts say the NSM is headquartered here because Jeff Scoop moved here from Minnesota to marry a Michigan woman several years ago, but that's something he refused to comment on. I'm also told Rocky Sujeda just happens to be from here, so the ANP is based out of his Westland home. Wow. So, Heather, first, have these groups been on the rise since President Obama took office, and how many members do they really have? Absolutely. They are on the rise, but really when you look at the membership, the ANP is very small, and that's dwindling. The other group has about a couple hundred members, so not that many, but again, civil rights groups say it's important to talk about these things so you can combat the intolerance.
Well, I didn't see much there about the differences between the Nazis, so-called Nazis, and the Klan. But anyhow, the Ku Klux Klan group plans to separate rally for noon Saturday in Nacogdoches. That's down there in Texas, I guess. A couple of hours east, giving truly dedicated anti-immigration activists time to attend both. The Texas Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, based in Hunt County, are rallying against all mass immigration, whether it's legal or illegal. Well, that's good. Honorable native-born white American men and women must keep America, America, the Klan group said in a flyer. The alleged neo-Nazi planned to leave the courthouse in Rockwall for a private ranch for a barbecue and swastika burning, while the Klan Clavern intends to burn a cross after their demonstration. The commander of the neo-Nazi group was shocked to learn of the competing demonstration. Whoa. The commander, no. Quote, well, they're not anything like us, unquote, National Socialist leader Jeff Shope told columnist Bud Kennedy. Quote, we're both pro-white, but our politics are very different, unquote. I wonder what the difference in politics are. Shope claims the National Socialist Group is political. Oh, how about racial? Oh, just political? While the Klan promotes religion. Well, the Klan promotes race, too. He claims that the neo-Nazi group is holding the rally in Texas after, quote, quite a few requests from local citizens. quote, "It's a natural fit for Texas," unquote, Shope said. The Waco-based Texas Knights are all that remains from a Klan group that staged rallies across the state in the 1990s. The Waco-based Texas Knights are all that remains from a Klan that's, well, I said that before. A spokesman for the anti-defecation flag said four of the 11 extremist groups' events planned nationwide for this month will be held in Texas. Quote, "In Texas, things like this do happen pretty regularly," she said. "I can't say it's a surprise." A militia group, Dallas City Troop, also plans a training event Sunday in the Dallas area, promising drills and basic military skills and light infantry. Wow, things are really heating up, man. I hope we're not going back into the old silly stuff of the mostly 80s and 90s, you know. And I hope we're not going back to that again. But I think these groups like this are going to be encouraged somewhat. Because, again, fear. They can use the pictures and video of Klansmen and robes and National Socialists and swastikas to scare people. And I think that was used that way when I was running things. I think it did, in the long run, it did more harm than it did good. But anyhow, it was interesting in the responses that Jeff Shope gave. I don't think he gave hardly any response. But anyhow, that's their business. They're the old Hollywood Nazis and the Hollywood Klan. They're back at it again. But you notice how the guy who worked with the ADL said, I'm more fearful of leaderless resistance than lone wolf? Yeah. Well, there's a theoretical physicist, Lawrence Krauss, who believes religion could be gone in a generation. How about that? Well, I don't think cults like religious people are going to be gone, but I think they should be minimized. But I think it should be more through education. I think they should be quit financing them, quit giving them tax exemption, all that kind of stuff. Let's see. Let's go down here and see what he's got to say.
Oh, more questions.
Yes.
Can I suggest that the issue of religion in any society, we're a world of many different people. And
yes.
Perhaps to defuse conflicts, we need to learn about each other. So perhaps rather than banning religion, we need to have comparative religion. And then all of these religions will eventually fade into being cute kind of lessons of history rather than reality.
I agree with you, but I think we should expose children to that, but we shouldn't expose it. There are classes of comparative religion.
We don't have any.
Well, there are in the U.S., but they're presented as if they're all sacred. What we need to do is present comparative religion as a bunch of interesting historical anecdotes, and then and show the silly reasons why they did what they did. But absolutely, instead of shying away from it, we have to explicitly educate people to confront their own misconceptions.
I think that might be a century away. I think in the interim, if we learned about.
You know, when you say it's a century away, when I talk about this, and it was again something I cut out from my remarks because I was going late. People say, well, you know, religion's been around since the dawn of man. You'll never change that. But I point out, and Nancy and I were just talking, we talk about this a lot. This issue of gay marriage, it's going to go away. Because if you have a child, a 13-year-old, they can't understand what the issue is. It's a generation, it's gone. One generation is all it takes. So I can tell you that, you know, a generation ago, people have said there's no way that people would allow gay marriage, okay? And slavery, essentially a generation, got rid of it. And so all you have to do, change is always one generation away. And we have the children. And exactly. So if we can plant the seeds of doubt in our children, religion will go away in a generation, or at least largely go away. And that's what I think we have an obligation to do. Yes, you gave me the $2. So you got to ask a question.
It's another $2, though.
I only got one. I already checked.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think
the fear for me is that medical science is getting that progressive that, you know,
one long for people to die. Yeah.
So the premise of, you know, the generation gaps is.
That's true. In fact,
if old people are living to 200, then are their ideals being carried along with them?
Well, you know, that's true. There's a statement that old theories never in science. That old theories never die. Old theorists do. And if it's true, you just have to wait for them to die. But you're absolutely right. But the question is, who has the positions of power in a society? And ultimately, it's going to be the next generation. That happens. And so the best we can do is try and make the next generation better than this one. And that's what I think we all try. That's what the purpose of education is.
Can I add?
Uh-huh.
The oldest person on the planet is currently 116 years old. She was born in 1898. Body on the planet has changed in that time.
Yeah.
Death is a wonderful thing.
I made a suggestion that if part of the core curriculum for every student was logic, critical thinking, and comparative religion, they'd all wake up that all of these contradictory and mutually exclusive belief systems can't all be.
No, you're right, but I mean, I think that's right, but I'm against sort of teaching logic in that sense as an abstract thing, because kids always wonder why the hell they're learning whatever the hell they're learning. So in order to teach it in a way that kids will internalize, you have to convince them that it's related to something that they're interested in. So you could take, it doesn't have to be science. All fields of scholarly endeavor, in principle, deal with the same kind of critical thinking, examination, all because I happen to firmly, I was going to say believe, but I don't use the word believe, I know. No, I don't know. But I highly suspect that the basis of everything that I know about the universe, that the only kind of knowledge is empirical knowledge. That you can take any discipline and use it as a way to teach critical thinking. So you don't teach logic in the abstract, because I think kids will just, it'll go in one ear or the other. But you demonstrate to kids their own misconceptions by asking, you know, this is really true, so I'm happy to crunch up a picture myself, okay? Is that someone? Oh, it's not you. Okay, I better not do that. This is your notes. I can crunch them up. Okay, so.
That's okay.
Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't get much out of that crap. But I'll tell you what. If the ruling elite wants something, it will continue. If they want it to stop, it will stop. If they want slavery as a method of building fortunes, they have slavery. If it becomes not useful anymore, or not as useful, or the handwriting's on the wall that's going out, they'll quit it. They'll stop it and go on to something else. They went on from chattel slavery to wage slavery. But it's always the ruling elite that makes these decisions. Now, my position is that I believe the ruling elite depend heavily on religion for control of the masses. There's no doubt to me about that. And so if the ruling elite wants religion, religion will remain. So I believe it starts with you and your own offspring teaching them the right stuff to begin with, when they're little kids. If my mother and father had not forced me to go to church, I wouldn't have been a Christian. Turned out that my blood father was an atheist, but I had no contact with my blood father. But if I had been raised by him, I would have poo-pooed religion. So it has to start at the bottom as far as I'm concerned. Should start in the home. Explain mythology and don't use all this silly explanations for Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all that bullshit. Kid asks a straight question, give him a straight answer. If he's old enough to ask the question, he's old enough to hear the answer. Well, I'm not sure how much show I've got on here because I accidentally broke it into three sections, accidentally, which sometimes I press the wrong button. But I think we've got our normal hour or so in here, so I'll be back tomorrow on Wotan's Day. And by then we'll know which bunch of liars are in office all over the country. Which bunch of slave masters will be we serving as peasants and serfs. Okay, 14:05. And remember, fear is not good unless your enemies are fearful of you.